Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the Naked Man Festival and cats traveling in a suitcase.
All about some local getaways that are closer than you might think with our newest road warrior, Steve LaRosa.
Consumer reporter Ed Perkins is here with tips on how to avoid getting nickel and dimed to death by cruise ships and hotels.
50 years ago, it premiered for the first time on their stage. Now it's back. Our special guest from the Sacramento Theater Company.
Making you a smarter traveler. Today with Mark and Tom on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, friends. This is the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. As always, at 2 o'clock here on KFBK, I'm Tom Romano. Across from me, the illustrious Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Steve LaRosa coming up a little later on in the show. He's going to take us, it's kind of east and over there near the Lincoln Highway for a visit to some unique locations. Ed Perkins is coming up. But let's right now do what we always do at the beginning of the program, and that's bring you up to date on what the world's going on in the travel news. With that, Brandon, fire up the old Travel Guys band, and Mark, bring us the news.
Ooh, we went to a band instead of a trio now. All right. You have a cat, Tom?
No, I do not.
You do not. Well, if you did, if you ever had a cat, I have a cat.
I have had
and
a cat.
You open the suitcase, you're packing, and the cat goes and, you know, lays in the suitcase. And then you have cat hair all over everything.
Sure.
Because the cat naturally wants to go with you. Well, this is a story about Bob. Overhead Bin reports that Bob the cat got into his owner's suitcase and popped out a few hours later after she had arrived in Orlando. Bob was apparently in good shape, a little shaken, but still purring, reports Overhead Bin. Scored Bob 1, TSA nothing.
Well, I hope that wherever they were going in Orlando that and staying, pets were allowed.
I hope so. Here's a little more serious story. The Concordia Black Box has revealed that the captain of that ill-fated cruise ship was not competent.
All the old incompetent captain story.
Apparently, he asked the engine room staff, are we really going down? Then he turned around and told passengers the ship had only lost power. While he was talking passengers into staying on board, the Concordia was taking on water. This is the same guy, mind you, who fled the ship before all the passengers had been evacuated, claiming he had tripped into a lifeboat, reports Cruise Critic.
So if they make a movie about this guy, I'm guessing that Peter Sellers will be playing the role.
Probably so. You heard me talking about the Naked Man Festival. Indeed, it's for real. The Shinto Naked Man Festival in Japan, at which over 9,000 men gather annually, has been taking place since the year 767.
Are you kidding?
Uh-huh. That's more than 1,000 years of loincloths, body hair, and traditional macho entertainment. But here's the fun part. At each festival, one man is selected to be the Naked Man. I guess this is kind of a spinoff of Burning Man up in Nevada, or maybe not. He gets to shave his entire body and then run around in his birthday suit as everyone else at the festival chases after him. Sounds like a normal day of work at Sports Leisure Vacations. Although it's a high honor to be named Naked Man, it can also be extremely dangerous as devotees overcome with excitement, emotion, and copious amounts of sake have been known to shove, kick, and seriously injure the chosen one in the competitive scramble to touch him.
Wow, this is crazy stuff. Why have I not ever heard of this before?
It's been going on for over 1,000 years.
My gosh. You know, it kind of reminds me of the running of the bulls, but you won't get to see it on TV.
Yeah, never mind. Let's not go there. Noah's Ark. You would think that Noah's Ark would be financially solvent, that it would be looked over from above. Maybe not so much. Noah's Ark theme park. Its opening has been pushed back to the middle of 2014 at the earliest due to fundraising problems. It's going to be about a little bit south of downtown Cincinnati, Ohio. Build an ark and they will come, or maybe not.
They're going to have rides. Will there be the big flood ride?
No idea. Listen,
I'm guessing you have to enter in twos, right?
Speaking of rides, the Goratorium in Las Vegas is open and it lives up to its name and more, according to early reviews. It's vile, it's disgusting, it's gross beyond belief. And given the whimsy of the traveler and the mood for a new product, it is a hot, very hot new Las Vegas attraction. It opens on September 27th on the Strip, and it is generating online sales as if it were a new Apple product. It is called Eli Roth's Goratorium. Retail ticket prices start at $35, and you can go in and watch corpses tossed into a meat grinder.
Oh,
It is said for later use at a buffet, a showgirl losing her head, the skin of victims made into pillows in restrooms with blood-red fluid dripping down mirrors.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a horror house. My staff said it's like a haunted house on steroids. The Goratorium in Las Vegas, and I promise you we will have somebody from the Goratorium on the Travel Guys before Halloween.
Brandon, did you hit the dump button?
All right. The Statue of Liberty is reopening October the 28th. It has been closed for over a year. It has been undergoing a $27 million renovation, and it will reopen on October the 28th, which is an important date because it was dedicated on October the 28th, 1886. And finally, last of the travel news, American Airlines has issued more than 11,000 layoff notices. They are cutting their staff by actually about 4,000 people. American Airlines, if you don't know, Tom, has been having some horrendous problems in the last couple weeks with,
I would suspect,
on-time departures. They got into it with their pilots. The pilots are kind of doing sort of a sick out, not show up at the last minute to work. Flights are all messed up. If you are traveling on American Airlines in the next few weeks, you need to really do your homework, because American Airlines is not a pleasant place to be right now, and nothing against American, but if you're thinking about buying a ticket on American next couple months, I might think about picking another airline unless you really need the miles, because there's probably a better spot. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, and we've got more to come. Who's next?
Ed Perkins is coming up right after this quick timeout. Stick with us.
Welcome, and this is the Travel and Entertainment Program. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations there. I'm Tom Romano here, and on a regular basis, we are, well, fortunate enough to have with us as a special guest Ed Perkins, nationally recognized reporter, writer, consumer advocate, guy who can help you, well, get great deals and avoid scams.
And also make you a smarter traveler.
There you go.
Which is one of our goals on this program. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon to you guys.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You have been opining recently on...
opining again.
Yes, again.
Mark does that a lot, okay. Ed.
It's a tough habit to break.
I guess so.
I'm on smartertravel.com. I don't need all this abuse from you guys.
All right.
Ed has been talking about hidden fees from cruise lines and from hotels, and how we can be on the lookout for these. Ed, talk to us a little bit about hotels and how are they looking to get us when we least expect it.
The hotel situation right now is the most flagrant, and that is that in a lot of areas, particularly Las Vegas and Hawaii, but the Caribbean and others, hotels are increasingly posting their rates at less than they really are, and then saying, oh, by the way, there's a mandatory resort fee or housekeeping fee or groundkeeping fee or some other kind of fee. And
so just as the FAA, the airlines had to post their taxes and everything with their airfares a few months ago, and they grunted and groaned, what you're saying now is that hotels are kind of slipping into the same trap of trying to add things on once you get there?
That's right. And the whole purpose of this, and we're going to be living with this problem for a long time, I think, in all markets, not just travel. But the Internet and the ability of online sites to do side-by-side price comparisons have put tremendous pressure on people to show up with the lowest price on the first screen. And so what a lot of hotels have decided is that, well, we really want to get $100 for this room, for example, but instead of that, we'll post it as $80 plus a $20 fee. And so the $20 fee goes on later. If you're lucky, you hear about it before you make a final purchase. If not, it surprises you when you check in or when you check out.
And this is extremely common, Tom, and it has spread not only from just fancy golf and tennis resorts and places mm-hmm. that where you would expect there to be a resort fee
right.
to places like downtown hotels in places like Reno.
That's right.
That are adding on a $6, $8, $10, $12, $15 resort fee. And when you ask about it, they say, well, that's to cover the resort services. And then when you go further, it turns out to be the telephone, the newspaper, a lot of things that have been bundled together, many of which you either don't use, are unlikely to use, or previously got for free. Am I on track here, Ed?
Yeah, that's right. And if you accept their excuse, and that's what it is, an excuse, not a reason, that, well, this is to cover certain resort features. That's not true. As long as once the fee becomes mandatory, it's part of the price, period.
Right.
And now, what they do on that example I gave earlier about, well, we wanted $100, but we're going to say 80 plus a fee of 20. The fee is part of the price, and all they're trying to do is give you a plausible excuse for doing that. But they might as well say, well, the fee is to cover the manager's yacht or to run the elevators, or it doesn't matter what they call it. And we shouldn't fall into the trap of looking at this question about the value of these services. If the fee's mandatory, it's part of the price. Period.
Now, we're talking about this here with you guys because I'm guessing this is something that has continued to increase. This isn't something that's always been there that we're just now bringing up. The hotels have been adding on and adding on over the last
the
few
number
years.
The percentage of hotels participating mm-hmm. in such questionable practices is increasing.
That's correct.
Is there no regulations within the industry that requires them to be upfront with all of this stuff ahead of time? I know the airlines went through this not too long ago where they says, look, you've got to let the public know exactly what they're going to be charged with when they book their flights. Not true any longer with hotels then.
No, that's right. And the difference is that in the airline case, you have a Department of Transportation that has national cognizance over the whole question of airfare advertising. Mm-hmm. So it's just one agency. There is no such agency in the hotel business. Now, the agency that is normally responsible for honest and dishonest advertising and misleading advertising is the Federal Trade Commission. And they are looking at this issue, which they call drip pricing. I call split pricing. And they have started looking at that sort of across the boards, not just in the hotel business. The problem with the Federal Trade Commission is they move so slowly. I certainly wouldn't hold my breath until they do anything about it. But several other consumer advocates and I sent them a letter about a month ago saying, look, you've got to look at this hotel situation. But how soon they're going to do it, I have no idea.
Go ahead, Tom.
With that being said, both you, Ed, and Mark, who is a pretty seasoned traveler, give our listeners some advice as to how they should be dealing when they check into a hotel avoid or having to pay these fees that they shouldn't have to be facing in the first place.
It's very difficult. I mean, when the fees first came up 4 or 5 years ago, you heard reports about people who were able to jawbone the hotels and say, hey, wait a minute, you didn't tell me about this. I'm not going to pay it. Mm-hmm. And the hotels would take it off the bill. But as far as I know now, they're not doing it. They're hardballing. And so the only thing you can do is make sure, and this isn't easy. I mean, it's easy to say, to make sure that you're dealing with a hotel that won't do that to you. But finding out which one there is more difficult. Now, booking on the hotel's own site, which is often a good idea anyhow, chances are that before you make the final purchase, the hotel will inform you of the fee. So maybe that's your best defense. But when you go to an Expedia or a Hotels.com or somebody like that and want to compare prices, you have to remember from the outset that what looks like an honest side-by-side comparison may not be that.
There you go.
And the other thing is, Tom, is that when you get to the hotel and you see a bogus charge that hasn't been mentioned to you anywhere, wasn't in any of your, you weren't advised of it, then fight it. Is stand up. Don't just say, you know, well, I guess I just have to pay this. Is question it. Ask to see the manager.
Well, that's right.
Put up a fuss.
The problem is that in the most, for the, these people do have smart lawyers, and for the most part, they will have put somewhere in the fine print whether you actually saw it or not.
Other fees may apply.
Yeah. But some hotels, if you're reasonable about it or if you're unreasonable about it, will split the difference with you, or there is some wiggle room. They some of them know that they're doing something that is going to cause some pushback, and so obviously they don't want you standing at the front desk and making a huge scene. Ed, we're, before we run out of time here, I want to switch quickly to cruise lines, and you wrote about hidden fees on cruise lines, about how cruise lines now more and more are taking and charging people for upgrades on meals and things like that. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
They're taking a lesson from the airlines book, and in order to get back to that business about the side-by-side price comparison, in order to make that first price look as low as possible, they're starting to add fees to stuff that used to be so-called free or included in the base price.
The old everything's included trick, huh?
Yeah, everything's included, but some things are more included than others.
than others. And some of the things that they're starting to charge for here, some of the things that you noted here, $8 for a glass of house wine, $5 for a small beer, $4 for soft drinks and bottled water and stuff. So not only are these things turning out not to be included, but they're being sold at rather at ballpark prices.
That's right. And the one thing that differentiates those fees from the hotel thing we were talking about is that at least they aren't mandatory. If you can get away without buying the stuff that they're charging you for now, you don't have to pay those fees. But what they do charge for, they're getting a really, really stiff price.
Well, and I think what the message to folks who are going on a cruise ship is, remember, the cruise line is making its profit off the money that you spend on board the ship.
So that's right. So I've seen studies that say that if you're just talking about cabin rates, the break-even load factor is 105% or something.
Absolutely. And so for these folks who are – if you go on a cruise and you don't gamble, you don't run up a big bar tab, and you don't buy a bunch of junk on board, you're going to get yourself a pretty good value in your vacation. You will have a lot of money to spend on the shore.
But what fun was that?
Well – But you see, Tom, you can shift
spend
your
it on shore.
Yeah, you can shift your fun. And the other thing is, never gamble on a cruise ship, because gambling on cruise ships is not well regulated, and there's a tremendous amount of overhead involved, and they have to the machines.
No,
there cannot be winners over any period of time when it comes to it's you're way better off to play keno in a casino than you are to gamble on a cruise ship.
Amen.
Ed, there always are more things for us to talk about than we have time for. We need to have you back in a couple of 3 weeks and clear off the rest of the shelf here. Thank you very much for what is some terrific information on how to avoid these resort fees and some of these sneaky ways that cruise lines are creating add-ons once you get on board. We'll see you again soon, my friend. Take care up in Ashland.
Well, nice talking to you as always.
Ed, thanks so much, and good luck with your war on hidden hotel fees. We are all counting on you.
Well, it may turn out to be the 100 years war, but at least we're starting.
At least we've got a good general in charge. Thanks, Ed. Coming up after a quick update at the bottom of the hour, news, traffic, and weather, we'll talk to Steve LaRosa, who's going to tell you about some great places right here in our own backyard. And also, why is Sacramento losing air service at an alarming rate? Does it have something to do with that brand new airport and the exorbitant fees charged to the airlines? We have the scoop coming up for you right after the news.
We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Welcome, my friends. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, who likes to get out on the open road, you were mentioning had made your way out onto the Lincoln Highway again.
I did. Took a bunch of folks up to we took a day trip last Saturday and went up to all the way up to Truckee. Had lunch in a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives place, Jack's by the Tracks there, and had a wonderful day. You know, it's amazing, Tom. There are three highways really to go, three ways to get to Reno. You can take Interstate 80, which is very easy, or you can take the US 40, which still exists in almost all the way to Reno. Or if you really want to take a step back in time, what preceded Highway 40 was the Lincoln Highway. Mm-hmm. And some spots you could still drive the old original Lincoln. But what's amazing to me is that there are so many great places off the beaten track in little places you'd never think of, like Rockland and Penryn and Newcastle and Gold Run, all these places as you go up the highway that are really – really a find if you're somebody who enjoys that type of thing.
And only a stone's throw away. And with that being said, back with us here on the Travel Guys, my buddy Steve LaRosa, longtime videographer, contributor to many magazines, writing with the Sacramento Visitors Bureau, I understand. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Mark. Yes, you are right on the money in terms of US 40, Mark. A lot of great little finds. I wrote an article about it recently that kind of stuck with the section. Predominantly, it talked about Loomis and Newcastle. But if people are leaving downtown Sacramento, for instance, they want to head out I-80, get off on Eureka, and go straight. And that's the beginning of what is Taylor Road, which goes over the freeway. And then you start getting into Rockland, and then Taylor Road will basically be that stretch of US 40.
And it's well marked that it's old,
yes,
the old historic highway, and there are some really interesting things to see in there.
I was looking for a wedding venue that was up in that area, and Taylor Road was one of the options. And I jumped onto Taylor Road at one particular location thinking that, well, I'll just go a little ways and I'll probably be there. And this crazy road just goes on and on and on.
Well, that's because it really is an old highway.
Tell me about it. What did you find along the side of the road there,
well,
Stephen?
Well, as you're approaching Rockland, if you want to stay on US 40, stay on Taylor, but you can do a slight jog into Rockland. There's a museum there that dates back to, like, I think the 1850s. I haven't been there, so I'm not recommending it, but I hear it's pretty cool. Straight out of Rockland, your next stop is going to be Loomis, and there's all kinds of fun things to do at Loomis. Loomis was actually the second largest fruit shipping station in Placer County.
Wow.
Do you know what the first was?
Neither do I.
I was just throwing that out.
I almost go with Newcastle because Newcastle has a very similar big dock,
yeah.
That, like Loomis has. So it's
and the train tracks go all along sort of parallel US 40 up there, and you can see why it made sense to have all these communities there.
Now, in Loomis, are you talking about the High Hand Fruit Shed?
It's now called the High Hand Nursery, Conservatory, and Art Gallery. Now, this place, as Mark knows, I'm sure, is now a destination spot. A lot of buses, they pull up there, unload the people. They stop for lunch. They go to the nursery, which is pretty outstanding. And they go to the conservatory, which is this beautiful sort of glassed-in restaurant. And they also have a coffee shop there. They have all kinds of things. They have a pottery warehouse, an art gallery, a sewing shop, a candle shop. It's sort of like the nut tree in miniature, I guess I would describe it.
And the best thing about all of this stuff is that it doesn't cost anything. I mean,
right,
you can literally pile the family
really
in the car, or just yourself, or you and the person you care about, and you could spend a Sunday afternoon, especially in the fall when the weather cools off a little bit and stuff like that, Saturday afternoon, great place to go.
A couple other fun little spots in Loomis that kind of cracked me up, I really like. The main drugstore, it's one of those old Rexall kind of drugstores. They still get the little soda fountain there in the back. That's kind of fun. Directly across the street, sort of catty corner, is Taylor's. It's a classic old burger joint, you know. A lot of custom car people go there on the weekend, and they'll, you know, that'll mm-hmm, be a stop mm-hmm. for them. And then a little farther down the road is, of course, the Blue Goose, which is a fruit packing shed, features a lot of locally grown produce. And, again, a lot of – I guess the Mandarin Festival is very big up there. So this time of year, we're getting into the whole Mandarin thing up there. But the really
we're
fun
– we're not talking the ducks, are we? No, I'm just kidding. Mandarin the fruit. I'm yeah. familiar with it. I have been to the Mandarin Festival, and you can't believe all the things that they can – make with that little tiny orange.
Yes, indeed. But another fun spot, if you want to stop and wet your whistle, is the Valencia Club in Penryn, which is a little farther up Taylor Road, heading up, you know, mm-hmm. towards the mountains. Built around 1956, At one point, people who've been around for a long time may remember it as the Hilltop Cafe. Before that, it was home to a thriving cat house whose madam is, they're saying, still haunts the place.
Wow.
We're talking with Steve LaRosa, who is sharing with us some off-the-beaten-track spots, really, between Sacramento and Auburn. Just as the highway starts to climb into the foothills, we're talking about neat places that you can visit in Penryn and Loomis and Rockland and things like that. What else you got for Steve?
Just before you get to the Valencia Club. By the way, Valencia Club, great bar, great restaurant, and on weekends they do the barbecue and they have a band and they have dancing. But right before you get there, across the street is the Griffith Quarry Museum. And I didn't know this, but all the granite that was used to build all the buildings in San Francisco, it came right out of Penryn. It was actually quarried right here, and that's where it went, all over Northern California. And you can go back there and you can see where all the diggings are, and that's kind of fun. It's a short walk. It's an easy walk. You know, it's not anything difficult. And then the last stop on this little stretch is Newcastle, of course. And you were mentioning that.
Yes. Beautiful little downtown area. I love to just take it's fun. It's hard to get a bus through Newcastle, but you have to wiggle-wag a little bit there. But Newcastle wasn't really built for buses or 16-wheelers.
Well, either for that matter was the old Lincoln Highway.
No,
but you seem to find a way.
Valid point.
It's funny. There's this little antique shop there that kind of cracks me up. It's called Anderson's, and the sign out front has an X through the word antiques, and somebody, obviously the owner, scribbled in its place junk. So he's got a great sense of humor about his spot. And then there's a great little sort of a mini Dean in DeLuca. It's called the Newcastle Produce and Deli. It's kind of like the David Berkeley of old here in Sacramento. And
yeah, it's a place with a real reputation.
Yeah.
A wonderful place to stop and get a bit of a respite along the side of the road. So this is something that folks could do literally. You just need a couple, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And probably some people listening to us right now live very close to this and don't even know that it even exists. Oftentimes the best stuff is right in your own backyard.
Yeah, yeah. All you Roseville listeners out there looking for something besides the casino up the street, here's a great way to spend your
afternoon. What's going to happen. You're going to get out on the old road and you're going to start driving. You're going to see the historic Highway 40 signs and the occasional Lincoln Highway sign. You're going to start up the hill, and pretty soon you're going to realize you're past Auburn and up into Old Town Colfax and stuff, and you've made a whole day out of it. Because really and truly, it's one of the most scenic drives in the country. We just don't know it because we're always zipping down the road at 60, 65 miles an hour. So as Steve says, get off the road and see something a little different.
And a burgeoning little winery community that's starting to grow in that area too. There's a handful of small little boutique wineries that are worth a visit.
You're going to just think differently when you see that Taylor Road exit along the 80.
You don't have to spend a lot. The point being, you don't have to spend a lot of money or go a long way from home to find some really neat stuff in and around Sacramento. Steve LaRosa, thank you for the tips. We look forward to having you on again and talk a little bit about the Wine Grape Crush and tell us about some other places around Sacramento.
Thank you, guys.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, over the last few weeks, last Sunday and the Sunday before, well, we brought up the TSA. You told your story about a bad experience in an early morning flight.
Yeah, bad services.
How that nobody wanted to help you get through the lines. And then last week, if people were listening, you followed up with a little letter that we had received as an email and talked about how that some of that might be true. And I know you were going to do a little homework and reach out to our friends with the TSA, or more importantly, those out at the airport, and kind of get the backside of what's going on over there. What did you find out?
Well, we got a couple things to talk about here, Tom, in regards to the airport. First, the TSA thing that you mentioned. Karen Doran, who is the media contact for the airport and is really a wonderful gal, Karen took some time and explained to me the other day how this is all going to work and what has been done so far, just so there's no misunderstanding. Sacramento applied to the TSA to get permission to have non-TSA security people. So the TSA said, well, okay, we think, but pending a cost evaluation. So now the people who do the cost evaluation is the TSA. So they will do a cost evaluation. They will come back to the Sacramento airport and say, here's what we found out. Yes, we think that you can do it for the same amount of money or less or more or whatever. And then at that point, the decision will be made whether or not they move forward. And the TSA puts out the RFP, the proposal, to security companies. The TSA does the interviews. The TSA makes the selection. The TSA trains the people. The TSA supervises the people. Do you get a theme here?
I do, yeah.
But I will tell you that at Kansas City and San Francisco, both major airports that have their own private security, they both report. I spoke to the director of the Kansas City airport the other day, and he told me that his security, he didn't have anything bad to say about TSA, but he's extremely happy with his situation. He's very happy that they made the move that they did. So whether or not it will happen in Sacramento, it's probably a ways off. But I will tell you that Karen was very interested to hear my story about the delays that were incurred out there at the airport. And she said, I'm going to look into that because
She didn't really have was this news to her?
It was news to her in terms of the situation that I encountered on the 30th of August out there with the bad delays at 6 o'clock in the morning that caused Southwest to have to delay a lot of flights. And I asked her if that had happened before. I didn't really get a definitive answer from her, but I'm going to be out at the airport a few times early in the morning the next few weeks. So we'll take a look around and we'll see how things are going out there, and we will report back to you. And I still remain, based on my experience a couple weeks ago, where the TSA folks were basically just standing around watching people miss their airplanes. I mean, I just have to say, less than half the security lanes were open in the new terminal. And while not all those lanes are designed to be open because then all the gates are operable out there, you know, we're not using the whole terminal. But still, come on, guys. I mean, you know, people need to get places, and there didn't really appear to be any reason for that. So changing tracks here for a minute about the airport, we'll update you on that TSA thing as it develops. Frontier Airlines announced this last week that they were taking their three flights from Sacramento to Denver every day starting the 7th of January, and they were pulling them from the airport. Now, the airport director said, was quoted in the Sacramento Bee as saying, well, it wasn't a significant loss. It's only represents – Frontier represents 3% of the traffic every day out at the airport. And by that measure, it wouldn't be.
Well, I can tell that doing the math from the Mark Hoffman side, not necessarily the case.
No, not necessarily, because Frontier is positioning themselves kind of like Spirit Air and like Ryanair that we like to tease overseas. They are basically going to make themselves into an ultra-low-cost airline, where you just get goosed and pay for everything. But if you don't have to pay for anything and all you want is an airline ticket, then you can go very cheap. The problem with this is they may say this is not significant to lose Frontier out of Sacramento, but I will tell you it is, because what you're doing is you're eliminating one of the low-cost carriers that holds other people's feet to the fire. And they said, well, it's not significant. We have Southwest and United serving Denver, so Sacramento-Denver passengers aren't going to have any issues. And I would agree with that. There's plenty of ways to get to Denver from Sacramento. But you didn't just lose Denver on Frontier. You lost every place that Frontier serves beyond Denver, because now you don't have that choice anymore.
In other words, if they're not going to Denver, they're not going anywhere past Denver.
They're not going to Fargo or Minneapolis or any of those other places that other airlines fly to either.
And do you feel that Frontier's presence there was, in fact, helping to control costs?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think if Frontier positions themselves as an ultra-low fare carrier, that they could have a serious impact in the future. And there is a rumor, only a rumor, not confirmed by anybody, that JetBlue is considering cutting some of their service. They currently run flights to Long Beach and an overnighter to New York. Here's the problem, Tom. The new airport terminal carries heavy fees for the airlines to help finance that terminal. And the airlines have been upset about it from the very beginning. That's why the airport, the hotel, and some other things were cut out of it in order to reduce the cost. It's a sliding scale for the airlines, and it'll get cheaper over time, but it's not cheap right now. It's expensive. Sacramento's an expensive airport to fly out of, but it's not a high-yield airport. The fares are not high here. So the airlines are having a hard time making money, so you're starting to see service cuts. And, you know, dare I say, all the airlines would now fit into one terminal. So I'm wondering how much money it's costing us to run two terminals at the airport when we could all fit into one. And I'm also wondering how many more airlines are going to pull service out of Sacramento or put in smaller planes or run fewer flights. You know, Southwest has eliminated over a dozen departures. It's not a pretty picture.
What about the possibility of just making it one terminal?
Well, that would be a good question to ask, and perhaps we will try to get the director of the Sacramento Airport on the Travel Guys with us and talk about just that.
All right. Fascinating. Well, you're listening to the Travel Guys, always here to bring you new and interesting information. Thank you for that, Mark. What do we got next?
Next, we're going to the Sacramento Theater Company. We're going to find out all about one of Sacramento's oldest cultural arts groups and a show they put on 50 years ago that they're bringing back this year. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We added that to the name of our show about a year ago, and for good reason, because we love to feature a lot of local theater, a lot of local music. on our program. And, of course, Mark Hoffman and the Sports Leisure Vacations, one of the things that he and his travelers do on a regular basis is travel to places where there's entertainment. So there's a certain kinship going on there, isn't there, Mark?
Absolutely. Travelers are always looking for entertainment, and people are always looking for entertainment, even if it's right in their own backyard. We are joined by Michael Lawn. Michael is the executive producing director, the man with the biggest title at the Sacramento Theater Company. Michael, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's nice to have you on the show. Most of the theater groups in town are getting ready for the beginning of the startup. The fall is traditionally the beginning of the theater season. So tell us what's going on at Sacramento Theater Company. I know you have a big production that's due to start here in just a couple of weeks.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, we're all kicking away here. We're in rehearsals for the opening production of our season of Celebration and Song. It is The Miracle Worker by William Gibson. Mm-hmm. We did the play in the 1962-1963 season, and now exactly 50 years later, we're bringing back the timeless story of Helen Keller and her teacher Annie Sullivan, and that'll open and play the month of October.
Now, wait a minute. You did this show 50 – the Sacramento Theater Company did this show 50 years ago?
Exactly.
That's in our
1962.
Amazing. Now,
yeah.
Now, where did you perform it in 63?
Do you know where the show was done, Michael?
In the actual theater on the corner of H and 15th. You know, when people drive by and they see the big Wells Fargo Pavilion complex, there are actually three theaters in that complex. The Wells Fargo Pavilion, a 300-seat theater, which is our main stage theater, and then we have an 85-seat theater, too. So, you know, when people say, if these walls could talk, at the Sacramento Theater Company, our walls have been there for many, many, many years. It used to be the Eaglet Theater.
Right.
And,
and we are – Tom, are you old enough to remember? I am old enough to remember that. Good Lord. Go ahead. Sorry, Michael. We just had a flashback
there. There you go. You're letting your age away there. We thought it was time to bring this play back, and we're really excited about it.
This play has had a Broadway run here fairly recently, has it not? Broadway, off Broadway. This show is showing up all over the country, The Miracle Worker. Tell us how folks can get tickets for this new show. And when is it preview, or when is opening night?
It starts its preview on Wednesday, October 3rd. Official opening is Saturday, October 6th. It runs the whole month of October. You can go to our website, www.sactheater.org, or tickets of 443-6722.
A lot of local cast, Michael?
Yes. Brittany Barger is playing Annie Sullivan. We've got Gary Wright, who was recently in our production of Dial M for Murder, playing Captain Keller. And one of our own acting company members here at the Sacramento Theater Company, Michelle Hillen, playing Kate Keller.
Michael, what does the rest of the season have in store at the Sacramento Theater Company?
We've got, this year everything is celebratory or song-oriented. Miracle Worker also is being done in the month of October, which happens to be National Disabilities Employment Awareness Month. So we're celebrating that. We're doing Christmas Carol. It's our 25th anniversary of our own musical version. It's also Dickens' 200th birthday. He was born in 1812. So
amazing.
We're celebrating his bicentennial by doing our version of A Christmas Carol around Christmas. We are doing the musical Bark, which is a Sacramento premiere. That's going to be in January. And we're honoring the Sacramento SPCA and celebrating the joy of having a little dog or a little cat or even a rabbit as part of your family. Then we're doing Midsummer Night's Dream in the spring, and we're ending out the season with a brand new world premiere musical of A Little Princess based on the Frances Burnett novel.
Now, Michael, that sounds like a tremendous amount of variety, and you mentioned that you did this the Miracle Worker 50 years ago. How old is the Sacramento Theater Company?
The Sacramento Theater Company was incorporated officially in 1945. So we are celebrating our 67th year. We are one of the oldest and one of the largest professional theaters here in the area. So, yeah, we've been around for a while.
Michael, what does give folks an idea? What does it cost to go to a show at the Sacramento Theater Company? I know the tickets are very reasonably priced. Give me some idea of what tickets range, for example, for a Miracle Worker or a season subscription.
We appreciate that. You know, we like to think that we're one of the best professional theater values in town. We have tickets as low as $15 for students. Our normal prices are around $30, $35 for a single ticket. And our subscriptions run, I'd say, for our six-show season, the shows that I just mentioned, run about $125 to $150.
Sounds like a great bargain.
So for about 20 or 25 bucks a show, you can come and be a part of our STC family.
Michael Wan, the executive producing director of the Sacramento Theater Company, truly one of the longest-running cultural arts traditions here in Sacramento. We all think of the music circus and the like, but right next door is a wonderful theater, and as you've just heard, it's been around for a long, long, long time. Well worth taking a look at. Miracle Worker is a wonderful show. I encourage people to check out the website, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, where you will find a link to the Sacramento Theater Company. Michael, thank you for your time, and thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you, Michael. I can't believe the end of another Travel Guys radio show has arrived.
Next week, Steve LaRosa, who you met this week, will be back to talk to us. It's wine crush season, and Steve has some tips of where you can go. Also, Thomas, we're going to take folks trip trotting. We're going to show you how you can meet folks in faraway places when you go traveling and have lots of great fun. Meet the locals next week on the Travel Guys.
That's at 2 o'clock next Sunday right here on KFBK. Thanks for joining us, my friends.